Blog Talk Radio.
It's like the E on the beat.
Oi, this one na sara sara. The beat is tana tana. You go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. Oh yeah, make you ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta hey. Make you dance yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta hey. Make you dance yeah, 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 yeah. This one na sara sara. The beat is tana tana. You go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. Hey. People with kalaka. Hey. Nandi walanya, ay, nandi kalanya. It gon' make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. It gon' make you feel nicer. Oh yeah, let's go to Kenya, Rwanda and Tanzania. Togo, Cameroon, Niger, Ghana, South and Sudan. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Make it that, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Easy make you no fight, oh. Oy, you go forget your sorrow. Makachuku, you go buy and play for your motto. Oh, oy, oy. This one na sara sara. The beat is tana tana. You go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. People with kalaka. Nandi walanya. Nandi kalanya. It go make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. It go make you feel Niger. Oh yeah, let's go to Zambia, Uganda, South Africa, Togo, Cameroon, Burundi, also Benin Republic. Hey. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, hey.
Introduction. I love that song. I don't know what they're saying most of the song, but I know it's they say it'll make you feel better. And that music should make everyone listening feel better. I hope all of you are having a wonderful evening, a beautiful evening, a blessed evening. This is Beata, your host tonight on Soul Purpose Healing. And we are here tonight to help you get back into alignment with the Creator's love, compassion, wisdom, and understanding. And I'm so excited to have Dr. Simone Uwan back on this show again. She brought the first time she was here. It's been, I think, a couple of months. Boy, time flies. But she brought so much knowledge, wisdom, and experience to this podcast that I invited her to come back because she's got some things going on in her life that we need to know about. And so I'm very excited to bring her back to join with me to help all my listeners rise, ascend, and become more like our loving Creator, Heavenly Father, in this earth that we dwell in. We want to be like our Father. We want to be the image of our Creator. And so tonight, that's what Dr. Simone and I are going to be doing, is helping us get back to health, number one, get back to truth and light and hope, And her journey is all about that and more. So I welcome Dr. Simone. Are you there?
I am, and thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to hear your voice again. I can't believe it's been, what, September that you were last here?
I know. Time flies, right?
Wow. And so many things have happened. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
I'm so excited for all the events that are going to be occurring in your life, our life. So tell me what's going on. I think maybe we could start with a little introduction for those who are listening who didn't hear the first podcast when you were here. Maybe you could start by introducing yourself, tell a little bit about your history, and we'll get into the topic for the night, overcoming disease with smart nutrition.
Okay. Well, if you can guide me as far as what information you want me to share once I start, if I forget anything, that would be awesome.
Oh, sure.
But let's see. My name is Dr. Simone Yuan. I was born and raised in Guyana, South America. Came to the United States when I was a little past 13 was diagnosed with sickle cell when I was a junior in college at age 19, not saying that I didn't have a whole host of symptoms and experiences before then, but that's when it got a name. I think since then I've had quite a journey with sickle cell and trying to find healing, I think, first emotionally and spiritually, and then physically, but it's been quite a journey physically, and feeling finally like, you know, I am going back to simpler things, but it's working after finding some naturopathic substances, treatment products. I am a medical doctor by trade, so it's unusual that I should be pursuing naturopathic medicine, but I have found in my journey that there is a place at the table for so many disciplines of medicine, and in other countries, we practice those various types of medicine, but somehow in the United States, it's been relegated to just allopathic pharmaceutical medicine. And just getting back to the basics is actually helping. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you too. I mean, it's amazing when I think about your journey that you were able to go through medical school and complete that after being diagnosed with sickle cell. That's kind of had to be one of the biggest challenges of your life.
Yes, I would say it was definitely one of the. It's pretty up there, but it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenge of my life has been navigating life with sickle cell and the pain, you know, the physical pain that it brings, and going through medical school. I think, you know, I had a lot of wind beneath my wings, so to speak. I had a great network of people. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it took a village to get me through medical school, and I'm grateful to a whole host of people. But yes, it was definitely a feat to be able to go through medical school, having to have blood transfusions and being in and out of the hospital, you know, 6 to 8 times a year, and getting all sorts of complications because of the sickle cell, and having to figure out, you know, how to keep going with all of those things along the way. You know, I think my biggest support was and is my husband. my mom has been there. She's been amazing. Just have a lot of support from my church. My church family is like my family. So here in Orlando, it's been really incredible to be able to have that journey all through having support. But yes, it was quite a feat.
Wow. Yeah, and especially when you say in and out of the hospital, oh my goodness, I had the recent journey in the hospital, brief journey in the hospital, and the expense of being in the hospital, my goodness, it's shocking.
Yes, it's
just
crazy.
Shocking. It is. And,
yes.
You mentioned that in other countries, they're more acceptable of naturopathic medicine. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. I grew up in South America where you could pull lots of different herbs from your backyard and brew them and drink them for different things. And there were lots of natural medicine practitioners that knew, the significance of those things. I was a child, so I wasn't at the point where I could or should have been able to ask, the questions about what everything was for. But I remember my mom pulling lemongrass from our backyard and giving it to me to break a fever, or, pear leaf to flush your system, and, all these different things. And also just being accepting of other disciplines of medicine, like, massage therapy, like, believing that, if you stimulate the body's circulatory system and lymphatic system, that it will, it will drain properly. It will, circulate the nutrients to your body and your cells, more effectively, and that you will be better. I mean, this was like a developing country, but they believed in things like that, and I know that other countries, practice acupuncture, practice more naturopathic way of, of doing things. And I thought that when I came here and I went through the medical school system that I was going to be exposed to some of that. I didn't realize it was pretty much going to be streamlined to using medications and pharmacotherapy to heal, or to treat the body, I should say, because a lot of times it doesn't really heal the body, except in certain areas. But yes, a lot of different countries are very open to the practice of medicine in all the disciplines, or certainly a broader sense of medicine than here in the United States. We practice, the Western medicine is just, it's very narrow, and it seems like over the years they've done a good job of keeping out the other disciplines of medicine. So people have had to fight for a seat at the table just to be able to introduce other disciplines of medicine, like acupuncture and even things like infusions. When I read about things like hydrogen peroxide therapy and EDTA and how it could, reverse emphysema. Emphysema is something that, when you get diagnosed, that's it. Pulmonary fibrosis. Those are things that, in allopathic medicine, we don't have anything for. And yet, you can go to an alternative medicine clinic and be treated by a responsible person who is certified in these therapies and actually have a reversal of your disease. And that to me is amazing, that you could have that and yet have to fight to have that be an option for patients, and have to fight. I mean, even the insurances don't cover these other disciplines, right? So then if you want to partake of them, then you have to be willing and ready to pay out of pocket. And most people are trained to think that, you know, Western medicine is cheaper, but that's because they have an insurance that's paying, you know, paying for them. But when you look apples for apples, you're paying a lot less for, you know, for the other disciplines of medicine in terms of what they're able to give. But you know, it's hard to see that when you're having to foot the entire bill, you know, up front. So that's also a deterrent, right? Because, you know, people are not always able to, you know, pay the money for actual healing. And so they're getting, you know, they're getting a Band-Aid put on things a lot of times. And it's been hard for me as a medical doctor, as an allopathic, you know, medical doctor, to see these things and have to go through the journey of realizing, you know, wow, my training is insufficient. My training is incomplete. I need so much more and so much further to go to be able to truly give patients the healthcare that they want and need. And you know, and I have to swim upstream, in, you know, with my colleagues, because, you know, when I start talking, like I said, they look at me like I have a third eye, and so it's not popular to think like that. So it's not passed on to people.
Yeah, well, I am just so grateful that you are doing better and that you're continuing your journey. You know, one of the things that we can say about the United States that sets us apart, and I'm not sure about other government organizations, but we have a strange system called lobbying, and we have developed into a governmental system where the corporations seem to be running our government, and I'd say that's the biggest reason why the pharmaceutical industry has such control. You know, I've read about the history of the medical schools and the medical system, and it's the Rockefellers, I believe, who started funding all these medical schools and developed a strong influence in the medical schools as to what they would actually be teaching. And so that system seems to have grown and grown and developed into what we now have is these strong lobbyists. I believe it's the pharmaceuticals are the strongest lobbyists in our government agency. And so they're controlled by corporations, wouldn't you say?
That's right. No, they are. They are a powerhouse to be reckoned with, and they have a lot of money, and money speaks in our country and the way we have things set up. And so, yes, absolutely.
So thank goodness you have gotten more and more into naturopathic medicine, natural healing, herbs, which is where this country started. Most families had gardens growing herbs, and then it slowly began to change as the pharmaceuticals gained more power. So tell me how your journey is today with sickle cell and with other health challenges you had in the past.
Well, about 6 months ago, I think I mentioned when I first came on your show, it was probably about 3 or 4 months at that time, but about 6 months ago, a person that had sickle cell posted on Facebook the name of a naturopathic doctor. His name is Dr. Wallach, and turns out he is a world-renowned naturopathic doctor. He just won an award at the United Nations, hosted by the United Nations for lifetime achievement in mineral medicine. I did not know much of him at the time, but you know, I started listening to the links that were posted on Facebook, and you know, talking about how, you know, we as a society, we used to be able to, you know, get our food from the ground. We used to be able to, you know, plant our stuff and just, you know, be able and eat from the ground. And the ground was fertile at that point, but as we, you know, grew more and we started to, you know, have mass production of food and not resting the land in between, all the minerals from the land kept getting used up in the food, but it wasn't getting replenished. And then when the land was starving, it didn't get rested like it should have been. And it certainly didn't get re-nourished. So, you know, they would put fertilizers and whatever it took to make a vegetable, you know, but the tomato that was raised there might have 3 minerals versus the one that was, you know, raised in your backyard might have 20 minerals. And because of the depletion of the soil. And so he went on to explain that because of that, we have to supplement because we're not getting it from the soil. We're not getting it from our food. Our food is not, you know, a tomato is not a tomato. It's not a tomato. It's just not nourishing us the way we should. And the only way that we could reliably get what we need was to have, you know, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids and 2 fatty acids in our diet every day, and the only way we could do that these days because of what was going on is through supplementation. And so he had formulated a line of products to do that, basically. And, you know, and he said, look, you could go out there and get it. I'm not saying that, you know, that you can't, but you have to then worry about, you know, the grade of the supplement. You have to worry about whether or not they even, you know, the supplement even has what it says it has in there,
and
how much of it can be absorbed because of how it's prepared. And then when you buy them individually, by the time you're done with what you need to have, it would be hundreds of dollars. So he found a way to be able to put these all together in a treatment system. And so he would, you know, and then he started talking about sickle cell. I mean, there were definitely treatment protocols for all sorts of different ailments, and I was really intrigued by that. But then he started talking about sickle cell and the fact that, you know, on top of being, you know, generally not nutrified, you are also lacking severely in certain minerals. So his belief was that, you know, based on a research that he did while he was in Africa with white-tailed deer, they were actually looking for something else and found that they could that there were sickle cells in these white-tailed deer, and that they could reverse it by giving them certain minerals. So they tried selenium and then copper and also vitamins, so vitamin B6. And so that's what we're severely depleted in. And his theory was that, you know, if you can give somebody something and fix something, then it's not necessarily a genetic thing, right? Because genetic, like your eye color that you can't change no matter what unless you put on contact lenses, right? So if you can't naturally change something, that's genetic. But then if you can modify it because you're eating differently or giving it certain supplements, then it's really an inherited thing. And he thought of sickle cell as an inborn error of metabolism where it was missing, you know, these three ingredients, shall we say, and that if you repleted the body with that, if you put them back, that the body would actually start to function better. And he said, you know, it's not going to cure it because it's in your DNA, but it will certainly reverse enough of your sickled cells that you will stay out of the hospital, that you will have much less pain, that you will, you know, be able to have some semblance of a life instead of lying there in pain all the time. And, you know, that, of course, resonated with me because at that point I had stopped my practice because my health had gotten so bad. I was at home and basically I was told by my primary care physician, well, you know, with sickle cell, this is about the age where things start getting really bad. You're kind of like an 80-year-old in terms of sickle cell years anyway, so why don't you spend the time with your family and just, you know, relax? And it broke my heart because I still thought I had so much left to give. So it resonated with me that I could, you know, replete my body and actually not be in and out of the hospital like I had been. The past year, I had been from October of last year through March of this, no, I'm sorry, April. I was in twice in April. I had been in the hospital every month and twice in April. Different things would trigger it. So my cycle would trigger it. If it was too cold, it would be triggered. I mean, different, so many things would trigger it. And so when I heard his, you know, his idea, I thought, well, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt to put it to the test. And, you know, his science was so tight. His message was certainly convincing when he laid it out scientifically. It wasn't like, oh, just believe me. He actually had, you know, different articles and different things that just showed that, you know, this should work. And so I decided to try it. And I started that program in May. I took it for the first time May 8th. And I you know, every time I start sharing, I well up tears. Even today, you know, I was talking to a woman at church, and I said, you know, it's really hard for me to talk and not just cry or weep out of joy for the change in the quality of life that I have had. Not to say that I don't have, you know, sickle cell symptoms, because I do, but man, it went from me being in the hospital every month. I haven't been to the hospital, you know, for a sickle cell crisis since I started in May. And to us, to my family, to my friends that see me every day, that's a miracle right there, you know. Just keeping me out of the hospital is a miracle. But then to be able to have a significant decrease in my pain, so that I can think, I can actually, you know, have a day where, you know, I went from just laying in the bed and just, you know, groaning to my husband coming home and I'm sitting at the kitchen table doing something, and then I'm standing at the sink doing something, and then, gee, I'm cleaning up the house again, and, you know. And
what a joy.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, is there any, yeah, maybe I need to get stuck in this thing because this is unbelievable. So, of course, you know, the first people I turned to were my family. My mom has arthritis and fibromyalgia diagnosis, and so after 1 month, she's like, I'm going to have what you're having because I don't know you, you know. And this is my mom, who had struggled with me, you know, since my diagnosis. And even before, obviously, even before it had a name, she was, you know, sitting at my bedside, you know, rubbing my joints and things. So she was floored. And so then we started her on it, treating, you know, her, putting her in a program for her. So it was, you know, extra glucosamine and different things on top of the basic nutrition that, you know, and on top of the 60, you know, minerals and the 16 vitamins and the 12 amino acids and 2 fatty acids. Everybody needs to have that. But depending on what your ailment was, you were severely depleted in a couple other things. And so you needed to put that in higher doses and more, you know, and so, you know, we put what she needed, and, you know, all of a sudden I couldn't find my mother. My mom was never home. She was going on cruises and, you know, flying out of the country. It was amazing. And
that's amazing. That's a good thing. Yeah.
It is a good thing.
I downloaded a I wonder if it's okay with you. I downloaded, I downloaded three clips on Dr. Wallach from YouTube. I'm having a little studio problem, so I'm hoping this will work. One of them is on high blood pressure. That's 8 minutes. We won't do diabetes. That's 15. But one I found really interesting was on transgender. I don't know if you've ever watched that. Dr. Wallach Talks has a 5-minute instructional education. I have never heard this before in my life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, let's listen to it, and maybe we can all gain some compassion, wisdom, and understanding about this whole movement of transgenders and so forth. If it's okay with you, I'll see if I can play it, and then we can talk about it when it's over.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's give it a try.
Well, on Diane Sawyer, ABC's 2020, Bruce Jenner came out after 60 years as a transgender. He officially came out as a transgender. And so this has to be dealt with because he is an American icon, and so we can't ignore his declaration. 1976 decathlon, he set a world's record. He beat number two by 200 points. I mean, that record was really up there. And he knew when he was 5 years old that he was different. He knew that he was sexually different than his genetic gender. There's two things happen when a baby comes along. Number one, as soon as the sperm fertilizes the egg, you're going to be either an XX female or an XY male. Okay? But then there's a development that takes place of the preoptic hypothalamus, a little kind of peninsula up in the middle of your brain, about the size of the last digit of your little finger, and it's like about, I don't know, maybe less than an inch long, maybe less diameter than, again, your small finger. And as it develops over the third to seventh week of pregnancy, it determines who you're going to chase for sex and who you're going to receive overtures from for sex. Okay? If you don't have enough cells in there because your mama was missing something during pregnancy, you can be an asexual person, kind of like Crazy Aunt Ruthie, who was died a spinster at 92, never went on a date. Crazy Uncle Frank, who died at 92, never went on a date. And these were people you enjoyed in your family because they were great cooks, and they would babysit your house when you went on vacation, but they just didn't have any interest in the opposite sex or the same sex. They just had no interest in sex. And then if you have a few more cells in that preoptic hypothalamus, you could wind up being a bisexual, and you don't care who you have sex with, you just like orgasms. And then if you have a few more cells, and there may be 50 to 100 cells in there, and they're all sort of by chance leaning towards one side of that little piece of the brain, you're going to chase females. Now, if you're a boy, that's good, but if you're a girl, you're going to be a lesbian. And then if these cells are all on the side that says chase boys and you're a girl, that's good, but if it says chase boys and you're a boy, you're a gay male, okay, you have that challenge. And then, of course, you have the transgenders, one who they know when they're little kids that it's more than being gay or lesbian, because they are they can father children. Bruce Jenner had, I don't know, 4 marriages. He had 10 children. So some very upscale people, the Kardashians, you know, this is high-profile stuff. And had fathered 10 wonderful children. And this has nothing to do with genetics. It has nothing to do with choice. I'll repeat that. Being a lesbian female, a gay male, transgender, or bisexual, this has nothing to do with choice. It has nothing to do with genetics. It has to do with things missing in the mother's diet during the third to seventh week of pregnancy, when this part of the brain, the preoptic hypothalamus, is forming. Now, it's kind of interesting that the federal government, a.k.a. President Obama, and the State Department have appointed a U.S. Special Envoy for Human Rights of Lesbian, Gay Men, Bisexuals, and Transgenders. Okay, this is the first time an office of this status has been formed in any country in the world. The first individual to take this post for the State Department is Randy Berry, who's a transgender himself. And it's one of those things where there's all kinds of fights all over the world on these sorts of sexual differences. And people want to believe, even the transgenders themselves, even the bisexuals themselves, even the gay men and the lesbian women have declared that they're making a choice. They're not making a choice. They're driven by the changes in the brain. Now, when you have enough cells in the preoptic hypothalamus, you're going to be straight person. You're not going to be a straight guy, straight woman. Okay, you're going to be a standard person who chases the appropriate sex, the opposite sex from yourself. Okay, now what I recommend as a scientist here, and taking no sides, is that if you want to reduce the risk of having a child with these sexual differences, what you do is you take all 90 essential nutrients for at least 6 months before pregnancy. When you have a young couple who's getting engaged, you get a young couple who's getting married, don't give them a $100 gift certificate. Don't give them towels monogrammed with their initials. Don't give them a linen set for their house. What you do is you put them on auto ship for the 90 essential nutrients, 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids for at least a period of 3 to 6 months before they get married, right? And this is going to give them all the essential nutrients they need to reduce the risk of a congenital event, whether it's Down syndrome, whether it's cerebral palsy, whether it's a sexual difference. All these things are preventable.
Now, thank you all for listening to that. That was quite a surprise for me, and I hope it wasn't much of a surprise for you, Dr. Uwan, but I had never heard anything like that before, but I think it's a great promotion for pregnant women or women planning to have children. What do you think, Dr. Uwan?
Well, yes, certainly it was a surprise for me, and it, you know, of course, flies in the face of most of what I learned so far. But I do think that, you know, when it comes to pregnancy, you know, if there's anything that, you know, I can say is, you know, we see even now that, you know, and this is some of the work that, you know, Dr. Wallach was able to do, you know, to be able to add selenium to the pregnancy to reduce birth defects, to be able to add, you know, even folic acid. People are aware that, you know, you need prenatal vitamins to make, you know, your pregnancy better. Unfortunately, it's not enough. And so it might cover certain things, but there's a whole host of other things that it's not able to cover, and the mom is not adequately nutrified. You know, I mean, you're forming a whole other person, and their bones came from your nutrients. I mean, think about that. You know, bones being made of all the minerals and calcium, all their teeth, you know, their hair, everything. You know, that beautiful baby comes out with, came from you, came from your body, came from all the nutrients that you had. So, number one, you know, we need to be able to give moms these things so that they are not completely depleted at the end of the pregnancy, you know, that they actually have something left. I just talked with a family member of mine who delivered twins, and within weeks of her delivery, she just spontaneously broke one of her tibia. And, she went to the doctor, and thankfully they, you know, were clued in enough to say, you know, why this happened. It happened because you had twins, and your bones are not mineralized sufficiently because your twins took them. You know, your twins took all of the, you know, the minerals that were in your bones. And so, even from the perspective of leaving mom nutrified by the end of the process, I mean, she still now has to raise a child and stay up at night and breastfeed and, you know, all these things. But also for the child, itself to be able to form properly. I mean, you know, he talks about sickle cell, that these things were lacking in mom during pregnancy, and because of that, you know, things were formed improperly. And so now, you know, have to be substituted as opposed to, you know, having a baby that's born without sickle cell, which, you know, of course is a surprise to me again because it flies in the face of anything that I learned along the way. But, you know, when you then, you know, replete and, you know, for someone like me, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? So I put it to the test and, you know, and all of a sudden I'm doing so much better. Then, you know, it makes me think, well, maybe, you know, with the other things it will do better. I watch my, you know, my other family members be better. You know, and I think, gosh, you know, what would it, you know, what would it take just to, you know, be able to put mom and dad on a great nutritional program, you know, when they're planning a family before they start, before conception,
right,
so that they can be, you know, they can be, you know, set up for success. Like, you know, what's the harm in that, you know?
You're right, absolutely. And that even if that video was kind of a shocker to at least to me, and I'm sure it would be to many, I hope that people will listen to that and wake up to the fact that pregnancy is serious business for raising healthy, mentally, spiritually children, healthy children in every aspect, because I had no idea. And it makes perfect sense to me what he's saying, because during the third and seventh week of pregnancy, there is so much growth going on. But now I have the sense that the brain is what's really developing during that time. And so that's when you want to have the child cells in the brain as strong and healthy as possible. So I'm glad he made that video, and I intend to share it with people in my family who are maybe expecting another child. And hopefully that'll wake them up to be more serious about their nutrition. So, Dr. Simone, you have a very important event coming up in Orlando. I'm excited about it. I'm hoping I can attend. Tell us about what's coming to Orlando next Sunday, I believe.
Yes, it is next Sunday. So next Sunday, November 29th at 6 p.m., and it's at Carter Glen Condominium Clubhouse. And just to shoot out the address, it's 6476 South Goldenrod, Orlando, Florida. But, yes, we are going to have a health seminar where we bring in Dr. Wallach's, the team that works with him, and just to be able to introduce some of the teaching, some of the health practices, and inform people of, you know, what their options are, and that's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. And so I'm really excited because I, just like I, you know, was able to watch my own health, you know, change and watch my family, gosh, you know, when it breaks my heart when I hear that there are things that we in conventional medicine are not able to do anything with, that we put a Band-Aid on, like something like, you know, as common as diabetes, right? And then I hear that, oh, well, you know, it's, they're just lacking in chromium and vanadium and selenium. So, you know, if they supplement with the 90 nutrients and then they put these extra, you know, minerals on top of it, they can actually reverse their diabetes. Like, you know, that blows my mind. And right now, the person who introduced me to these products, you know, he has a guy who took the products, took what he needed to take, you know, and that was, what, $85 a month? You know, I mean, and you know, the thing about it is you pay now or you pay later, right? You pay in the quality of life. You know, you pay when you're losing, you know, your kidney function and, you know, you're having dialysis, or your, you know, your eyes are going bad because of your diabetes. And here he is, for $85 a month, he's able to reverse his diabetes and then slow it down to where he's not even needing to take what he started with you know, except for, you know, the maintenance that everybody's body needs, right?
Right.
And every day. And so, you know, so he was telling me about his friend, and the friend is in Texas. And when this guy realized after a month that his blood sugars were normalized and that he could come off of his medications, he started like stockpiling, hoarding the the minerals. He started ordering them in batches, you know.
Uh-huh. Excitement.
He was wanting to make sure that it, you know, he never ran out, you know. And so, you know, and we were laughing, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, not everybody knows about this. Not everybody is even aware that that can happen. Not everybody knows that their arthritis can be reversed, that their fibromyalgia can go away, that their, you know, that their sickle cell, their osteoporosis, you know, a whole host of things, and that they are based in mineral deficiencies and improper supplementation, you know, and to be able to offer that to people, it's a free event, and to be able to offer that to people, I think, is my way of paying it forward. So,
it's very exciting. I want to play a little bit about what Dr. Wallach says about diabetes. It's a 15-minute video, but I'm only going to play a few minutes because he is so on target with this whole diagnosis. And I just want to give people an introduction to Dr. Wallach's method of sharing the truth and wisdom and so much experience. This is Dr. Wallach on diabetes. Let's see if we can get it to play. I think it'll play. We may.
Right after this, diabetes, the number three killer of adults in the United States, causes blindness of all kinds, kidney failure, kidney dialysis, kidney transplant, contributes to the numbers of cardiovascular disease, the number one killer of adults in the United States, amputations of toes, feet, and legs for ulcers that won't heal, and gangrene. And most times, you really don't have to get an amputation to resolve those problems, but if you insist on getting something amputated, please, please put a tag on it so they get the right one. You know, if you guys go in for an inguinal surgery operation, you want to get a do not remove sign and put it in the appropriate place. That happens. Okay. Now, when your doctor diagnoses a new diabetic patient in his office, he excuses himself, goes into his private office, drops to his knees and gives thanks to the Lord. Then he jumps up and he calls his real estate agent because he knows over 20, 30, 40 years you're going to go through all these problems if you follow the standard treatment or management of diabetes in human medicine. And as a result, over 20, 30, 40 years, you're worth to him $250,000 to $500,000. It's like adding another cow to the dairy herd. They know exactly how much you're worth to them as a diabetic. And if you don't think that's true, next time you visit a doctor, ask to see his medical business office journals. You know, they have business journals for doctors, and see what they say about diabetic patients and heart patients and cancer patients and how much on the average. That's why people pick certain specialties, because there's big bucks in that area. Now, to me, this is criminal, because in 1957, we learned that we could prevent and cure adult onset diabetes in animals by supplementing with two trace minerals, chromium and vanadium. Chromium and vanadium. And 11 years ago, 1985, the medical school up at British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada, came out and said that the trace mineral vanadium alone could replace insulin for adult onset diabetics, who again make up 85% of the diabetic population. Science Diet dog food contains 40 minerals in a complete analysis, always contains lithium, chromium, vanadium, and selenium. Ralston Purina laboratory rat pellets always contains a minimum of 28 minerals, and they always contain lithium, chromium, vanadium, and selenium. And I'll give anybody in this audience a crisp new $100 bill if you can find me a human infant formula that contains more than 12 minerals. None of them contain lithium, chromium, vanadium, and only one, ProSoybe, the one that has 12, has selenium in it. None of the rest do. They have 11, 10, 9, or 8 minerals. That's why they call Similac Similac, because it lacks everything. Now, if I've convinced you that minerals and nutrition are important to preventing disease and adding health and longevity to your life, you have to be responsible for this, because your doctor doesn't get 30 seconds worth of clinical nutrition in their medical school. And as a result, this is a blind spot for them. It's something they never consider when a person comes in with a health challenge. They never consider this aspect of the disease. Now,
so that's just a small, that's like 4 minutes of a 15-minute teaching on and educating us about diabetes, which so many people are being diagnosed with. And as he said, it's a cash cow. These doctors know that if they'll have them for life, if they follow the protocol for diabetes in the medical system. So we need to attend the meeting next week. Tell us again, Simone, Dr. Simone, where that's going to be held.
It will be held at Carter Glen Condominium Clubhouse, and that is 6476 South Goldenrod, like G-O-L-D-E-N, Rod, R-O-D, so Goldenrod Road, and it's in Orlando, Florida. And I think the zip code is 32822.
And that's from 6 to 8.
Yes, that is from 6 to
okay.
8, November 29th, Sunday, November 29th, yes.
Okay, and I may have to do a show on Saturday to be able to attend because I'm usually doing a show, starting my show at 8, and I really do want to attend. I really want to attend that meeting, so I'll work something out. Maybe you'll have to come back on Saturday and do another plug for the meeting. Because this is important. As Dr. Wallach just described, diabetes is people who are being diagnosed with this disease unnecessarily. Because we know from year back, all the way back to 1985, as he said, that it's a nutritional deficiency disease. And I, for one, had lived with my ex-husband for many, many years and watched him refuse to take any supplements whatsoever. And he sank into the belief that because his parents had diabetes that he would probably get it too, and that's exactly what happened. So it's sad to see that type of mindset, but we have many people who are like that, and Dr. Wallach's nutritional program is excellent. And Dr. Simone, I'm so grateful that we have met and that I'm being introduced to this new product because I spent years in a health food store, and just as I think you mentioned, you never know what the quality of these supplements are when you're buying them in the health food store, but when you have the character of Dr. Wallach behind products of Youngevity, right?
Yes. Well, not only character. I mean, the thing got tested. I mean, I remember, well, you know, when you start annoying the FDA, you know, you don't get away with that. So what happened was, when Dr. Wallach started saying things like, you know, my supplements have 98% absorption, you know, everybody's like, what are you talking about? There are no supplements that have, you know, maybe 70, 75, but 98%. So, of course, you know, they thought, okay, this is a great way to wipe them out. So why not pull his products and test it? So,
right.
So they did. And then all of a sudden there was nothing. They weren't saying anything. And, you know, translation, it was 98% absorbable. So they couldn't really, you know, do anything to him. And so now he can sit and say, well, hey, the FDA checked my stuff out. They won't give it, the FDA approved, you know, label. But, and in my book, you know, I thought to myself, look, hey, if, you know, the FDA is going to be, you know, and he says this a lot, you know, he feels like there are lots of, you know, the powers that be that are just waiting for, you know, for him to mess up somehow. And, you know, and I think to myself, I feel bad for him, but it's good for us because that keeps everybody on their toes, you know.
And, that's right.
You know, that the product will always, you know, have that high absorption rate because he can't afford for the FDA to come test it and have it not be above 98% because that will be that would be his funeral.
Right.
And, you know, and they are waiting, you know, to be able to, you know, knock him off the market.
Right.
So, but that works out for us. We can,
right.
you know, be sure that what we are getting is good quality. I mean, he has a great, he does have a great work ethic and a great passion for doing things, you know, excellently and, you know, getting the right sources for things and such. But, you know, it certainly, in my book, it certainly doesn't hurt to have, you know, to have that extra security of knowing that, hey, you know, he's also aware of the fact that, you know, his supplements can be pulled at any point and examined at any point, and if it's not consistent with what he's saying, then he would be out of business. And so that's good for us. I mean, you know, that's good for
us. Yes, absolutely. So, Dr. Uwan, before we go, you mentioned when we talked a little earlier about 10 foods that are the foods that need to be eliminated, or these are the worst foods that can have in our diet. Can you tell us, our audience, what those 10 foods are that they need to start thinking about getting rid of or getting out of their diet before they start Dr. Wallach's program?
Sure. Well, that's easy because, I live with this every day now. And the first four are wheat, barley, rye, and oats, and that's all because of gluten. Now, I know that oats don't really have gluten per se, but they have something called avenins, and they respond in the, they act in the body like gluten. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if you're getting stung by a bee or stung by a wasp. If you're getting stung, you know, you want to take it out of your diet. So, and the reason why we need to take those out of our diet is because the gluten causes inflammation. It's kind of, I explain it to people, it's kind of like, you know, when you were young and you made a flour paste of flour and water, and then you would use it as a glue, and then it would dry, and you'd see that crusty, dry film. Well, that's kind of what it's doing, because in your intestine, you know, when you're absorbing, your water is absorbed and everything in the large intestine, and you're going through your bowel, even before you get to the large intestine, you have all these non-absorbable gluten particles stuck to the wall, smeared along the wall like that flour paste, and going nowhere. And two things happen. One is, when they're smeared like that, everything that's coming behind that isn't getting absorbed because they took over the wall and they're just stuck there.
Wow.
And so all the space that you need for your nutrients from your food or from even your supplements or anything to be absorbed, all that space is being, you know, is being hidden by, you know, the gluten that's just smeared all over the walls. And then the second thing that happens is, just like with someone who can get bed sores, if they're lying in the same position for long enough, you know, your back starts to get inflamed at that spot, and that's why you have to turn people ever so often. Well, if you have a contact with something that your body, you know, can absorb and it's just stuck there, eventually it's going to start to irritate the surface of your small intestine. It's going to get inflamed and the walls are going to get thick, because if you think about inflammation, I mean, when your legs swell and it's inflamed, it gets bigger, right? So the walls in your intestine get thicker and bigger, and then things can't pass through as quickly. You know, it's supposed to be thin like a sheet of paper, you know, and even less than that for the molecules of your food, once broken down, to be able to pass through and get into your bloodstream. But when it's swollen and thick, it's really hard for those particles to go through and get into your bloodstream. And so, you don't have your nutrients. So instead, you're just pooping out all of your nutrients and, only, you know, the particles that manage to get in would get in, but you're nutrient poor at that point. So that's why we need to eliminate the wheat, barley, rye, and oats. The next thing is oils, because oils are, if you could make the oils and use them right there, like in certain cultures where they make their coconut oil and they use them right there, or they may, you know, they press their olive oil and they use it right there. That would be wonderful, because it's not sitting on a shelf getting oxidized with air in the bottle, you know. But when you have, you know, the way we have to process these things, you know, and mass produce them and then have them sitting on the shelves or have them transported. They, you know, have they have air in the bottle and it's getting oxidized the whole time. By the time it hits your system, it's causing all kinds of inflammation and oxidation. And, you know, you're taking antioxidants to help you, but this is like outweighing your antioxidants, you know, big time. And so you don't, if you're trying to get healthy, you're not wanting to put sugar in the gas tank. You want to have, you know, good gas and keep it that way and not put anything that would impede, you know, the work of the gas.
Right.
So if you're cleaning up your system and you're trying to put in, you know, these supplements, you don't want to put oils that are oxidizing things and inflaming, you know, causing inflammation as a result. So you want to stay away from the oils. So the recommendation, believe it or not, is butter or lard, not Crisco, because Crisco was made as machine oil by a German scientist, and they pushed it here in the United States. They got the American Heart Association to say that it was actually okay when it was not, but they gave them a $5 billion research grant or not a scholarship or whatever. And so, you know, when you get a lot of money, you have to do something for it. So, you know, the result was all of us thought Crisco was better than lard. It turns out that our parents and grandparents had it right. We're not talking about Crisco. We're talking about actual lard. It's a stable molecule. It's a stable product. It doesn't oxidize the same way. And so you can use it to cook. You can also use 100% natural butter. That's also stable. You can tell when butter is going bad and getting rancid. And you can, you know, you have visual and other clues to tell you that, you know, this is bad.
Milk,
but you don't necessarily have that with these other oils. And so the recommendation is to use that. Now, I had to wrap my head around that because I'm thinking, lard, that doesn't sound right, you know. But when I went back and I read up on things, it turns out that actually there are many people that know that lard is actually better for a long time. So I'm behind.
So, I'll leave the lard out. I love butter, though.
Yes. The next thing is number six would be fried foods. So, you know, when you fry your food at a high temperature, and a lot of these oils, their burning point is much lower than you think. So it actually causes carcinogenic things to, you know, to be added to your food. And so fried foods are, you know, are just a no-no. They also, you know, with the oils, cause oxidation and inflammation in your blood vessels. And then the seventh thing would be, you know, your deli meats. So your nitrates and nitrites. These days you can go to even Walmart and you can get non-nitrate, nitrite a deli meats, but it just has a shorter shelf life. So, you know, you want to use it up as, you know, as quickly as, you know, as you can, or put it in the freezer or something like that. But, you know, but nitrates and nitrites are not good for your system. They put a stress on your system. So, you know, just stay away from that. Stay away from sodas for two reasons. It has whopping amounts of sugar, and it, which, you know, we know is a big pro-inflammatory molecule. I mean, sugar is just, it's amazing. And you know, cancer feeds on sugar. A lot of things feed on sugar. A lot of infections feed on sugar, and it makes your body acidic. But the soda, because of the carbonation, it actually goes against the acid in your stomach, and it neutralizes it. So so you are not breaking down, you know, digesting your food very well if you don't have the hydrochloric acid in your stomach to, you know, to break it down. And so they, you know, they say, look, if you drink soda, you know, please let it be way before way out, you know, before you need to eat any food, but truthfully, you shouldn't be having it at all.
That's right.
And and you know, why put your system, you know, in such a stress? I mean, it has whopping mm-hmm. amounts of sugar.
Right.
On top of that.
Okay.
And then they talk about your meats. So cooking your meats rare or medium rare, because when you cook it well done, you actually have there was a study that was done that said that you could reduce your incidence of breast cancer by 462% if you cooked your meat rare or medium rare instead of well done, and you could decrease the incidence of prostate cancer and others by similar numbers. So if you could do that just by changing the way you cook your meat, then of course, you know, it goes to figure, hey, just, you know, rare or medium rare, stay away from the well done meat, and increase your chances of being well. The last thing is the skin of a baked potato. So when you bake a potato, apparently, and these are all things I'm learning, by the way, because this is not stuff that I, you know, that I learned in medical school. When you bake a potato, the skin releases some carcinogens as it's baking at that high temperature. So you don't want the skin. If you boil the potato for some reason, it doesn't release that. And so it's fine for you to eat the skin of a boiled potato, but not a baked potato. And we tend to have a lot of baked potatoes, you know, when you go out, you know, they bake the potato, you know, and give it to you. So, you know, just
right.
to avoid.
That's interesting. What about steamed potatoes?
It should be fine again, because it's kind of like being boiled, right? So
yeah.
I'm thinking if it's with water, I think it's the drying out and the increase of the heat at the same time that's bringing that out. But if you have any, you know, any questions as to whether your preparation caused, you know, carcinogens to be in the skin, don't eat it, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think it's easy enough to stay away from.
Right.
But those,
well, that's a complete list for
that,
sure.
Yes, those are the 10 things that, and they tell you, they're like, look, if you're not prepared to, you know, to at least phase these things out of your diet, then, you know, it's not worth buying, you know, something and then not having it be fully absorbed or fully effective, you know. You want to be able to clean out your system, and then you want to be able to introduce good things into your system. So if you're introducing good things and then introducing bad things at the same time, you're kind of overwhelming the ability of the good things to work. So,
yeah, that's important.
You know, yes, it's important, very important.
Well, Dr. Uwan, we're at the end of the show. I scheduled this for too short a time, and I'm going to ask if you can come back maybe on Saturday, and we can do just a pre-show for the club or the meeting coming up.
Sure, that would be wonderful.
Yes, all right. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I am so full of information and your wisdom, and I hope my listening audience will have a chance to go over these the podcast again later, because we covered a whole lot, and hopefully we can cover even more on Saturday. But I will definitely be in touch, and we can talk about some different things if you like. I have one of the videos I didn't even play on Dr. Wallach and high blood pressure. That one's a little longer. But there are so many, if you're interested in finding out more about Dr. Wallach, just go to YouTube. My goodness, there are hundreds of videos that you can watch and educate yourself. And he's just a beautiful soul. And I'm so glad that I'm connected to Dr. Uwan and we can get to know more about Dr. Wallach's products. And my father is trying them. I haven't talked to him lately, but he seems to be doing pretty good lately. So he's got two more months before he reaches the 90-day goal. So
very
I'll keep
good.
You informed. And I've got to get this list to him because I don't think we didn't talk about the 10 things he needs to avoid. So I'm sure he's cheating a little. But
okay.
He doesn't eat a lot. He doesn't eat a lot anyway, so it won't be too much of a problem. So
okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll definitely get him on those, and I can email them again to you. And yeah, definitely go over them with him so that he can get the optimal result. You know that he wants, for sure.
Yeah,
that would be great.
I wrote them down. I actually was writing as you were talking, so I did write them down. I'm going to give him a call, maybe even tonight, because he needs to be more aware of this.
yes, definitely.
Well, thanks again, and have a great week, Dr. Uwan,
thank
and I'll
you.
Be talking with you before the week, next weekend, and I'm looking forward to the
awesome.
Meeting. I'll make sure I'm there.
Awesome. That would be wonderful. Wonderful. I'll
so
see you on Saturday.
Chance, we get a chance to hug and talk some more.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
All right. Well, thanks, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
and
thank
we're
you.
We're going to go out once again with our African music to make you happy. And everyone have a great week. Come back on Saturday for part 3.
Hey, this one na sara sara. The beat is tana tana. It go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. Oh yeah, make you ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta. Hey, make you dance yeah. Everybody ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta. Hey, make you dance yeah. This one na sara sara. The beat is tana tana. It go make you manya manya. Next is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. People with kalaka. Yeah, nandi walanya. Nandi kalanya. It gon' make you feel better. This can take away palaba.